Monday the 22nd of November 1989, before I start the class, the tafsir class, there is yet another book. If you remember, those of you who were together with me in fiqh class, when we started in Darul Tafsir in Northwood, there was a book I had wrote, Al-Fiqh Lil-Mughtaribin, which means issues of fiqh related to people living in the West. And I also remember telling you that this book is under translation by Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi of Toronto. Well, good news, the translation is ready, printed by Imam Ali Foundation. It's called A Code of Practice for Muslims in the West. This book contains a lot of new fatwas, including financial instruments of insurance policies and all that. It includes fatwas on moon sighting, organ transplant, medical issues. And in foods and drinks, it also includes the pictures of fishes that are allowed and that are not allowed, with names in Arabic, French, Latin and English. Although I am told this is not a comprehensive list, but nevertheless, it is a beginning by a marja, right? Ayatollah Sistan. This is according to Ayatollah Sistan, right? Now, I've got only three copies here right now. One has been booked already in advance by Snake. But in case anybody is interested, please see me after the class. I can get more copies. Ayatollah Sistani's foundation, Imam Ali Foundation, has also printed a new version of Manasik Hajj for people who are planning to go to Hajj, which is, I give you a copy.
Yeah.
It's just incorporating more questions.
It's taken in more since the last translation by Murtuzalaka, right? So these are the developments. Now, in Tafsir, Surah Al-Baqarah, we started some weeks ago, or rather 2-3 weeks ago, Surah Al-Baqarah, we started with the issue of man's creation. How Allah created man. He asked angels to prostrate or to bow down before Adam. Why Iblis refused and so on. Last week we looked at Iblis. We entered into the third phase of the story. And this third phase touches a very fundamental part of our ideology. And that is our belief that all prophets are sinless, masoom. If all prophets were sinless, then what about the story where Adam disobeyed Allah? Right? Now, how does the Quran narrate it? What is the explanation? And all that would mean we go a step back and understand what is Islam and so on. Let's start with first this particular part of the story. The part which says that Allah then told Adam, go forth, live in this garden, that is Jannah, and eat as much as you wish, right? That particular part of the story, up to the time when Adam is then banished from the Jannah and told, go down to earth, right? That story is repeated in the Holy Quran 3 times only. And it is important that we study the whole turn of events in light of all these 3 instances where it has been narrated, right? It is not enough to look at it from one particular part only. Because remember, our style is that Quran explains Quran, and therefore what cannot be explained in one instance will be explained in another instance and so forth, right? So I would suggest if you pair up, then the books that you have should refer to 1, 2, 3 different parts that we are going to constantly refer to. The first one is Surah Al-Baqarah, where we are, which is verse number 35 to 39, 4 verses on, right? The second one is Surah A'raf, Surah number 7, verse 19 to 27. Put a mark there or something that you can refer to there easily. And the third, which is probably the most comprehensive explanation of many concepts in the story, is Surah Taha, Surah number 20, verse number 115 to 126. Surah Taha, Surah number 20, verse number 115 to 126.
Yeah, by the way, there is a link.
Anybody who is interested in it? Translation?
Murtaza.
Right. We'll start with The first verse in Surah Taha, that is Surah number 20, when it starts referring to this particular story, it starts by saying, that's verse number 115, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَلَقَدْ عَهِدْنَا إِلَىٰ آدَمَ مِنْ قَبْلُ فَنَسِيَا وَلَمْ نَجِدْ لَهُ عَزْمًا. Right? Aida, what has that been translated as?
We did not find in him any intention.
We did not find him?
We did not find in him any intention, and in brackets to disobey us.
Is that what? Same translation. Anybody else has another translation? Nobody has another translation, eh? Everybody is doing a similar Ahmad Ali, huh? Sorry, yeah, you got Yusuf Ali, yeah.
He says, already beforehand taken the covenant of Adam, but he forgot, and we found on his part no firm resolve.
No firm?
Resolve.
Ahsan, on his part. But is that a bracket saying to sin?
No.
It doesn't say to sin. This verse is talking of a covenant, right? Now, this covenant could mean several things. Could mean the time when Allah told him, لا تقربا. Do not approach this tree, right? لَا تَقْرَبَا هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ. When Allah gave the command, do not approach or do not come near this tree, it could mean that particular command. And that command is referring to here that we took a covenant and he forgot, right? But in Quran, when Iblis is talking to Adam, Iblis says, مَا نَهَاكُمَا رَبُّكُمَا, right? If you look at the verse, this is in Surah Al-A'raf, in Surah Al-A'raf, Surah Al-A'raf, verse number 20. وَقَالَ مَا نَهَاكُمَا رَبُّكُمَا. And Shaitan told him that Allah has not refused you to get near this tree, except that إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ مَلَكَيْنَ أَوْ تَكُونَ مِنَ الْخَالِدِينَ, except that you will become angels. So the very fact that Shaitan pointed them out and said that Allah has not refused you to approach this tree means that they are not forgotten. They remember. Right? So this nasiya here, that they forgot the covenant, could not be referring to the covenant where Allah told them, do not approach the tree. Because the Quran itself says that Iblis reminded them that Allah has not refused you to get close to this tree, except that you will become angels. And therefore, it cannot possibly refer to the immediate command that Allah gave. Right? Ayatollah Tabatabai strongly believes that it refers back to the overall covenant, right, that goes to all human beings, mankind at large, which is found in verse 7172, which says, وَلَقَدْ أَحِبْنَا, 7172. You remember that verse, last time we discussed it very briefly, that this verse is the verse that Allah said, وَإِذْ أَخَذَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمَ مِنْ ظُهُورِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ وَأَشْهَدَهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَىٰ شَهِدْنَا أَن تَقُولُوا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِنَّا كُنَّا عَنْ هَذَا غَافِلِينَ. Remember the word غَفْلَت. The word ghaflat is not something which you do not know. A ghaflat is only used for something that you have forgotten. Something that you know, but it is not coming to you. You are not remembering it at the right time. So, kunna an hada ghafilin, that means on the day of judgment, if we say we don't know, Allah would have used kunna an hada jahilin. Right? He uses the word ghafilin to point out that we all have inherently in us that we believe in Allah. We believe in His existence. We know He exists. Now, this particular verse has got another sort of tafsir to it about the Adam-e-Dharm that we discussed last time. And remember last time I said, if you get time, read the tafsir that is in Asim bin Ahmad Ali of this particular verse. And you will find he has dealt with views of different scholars regarding this verse. In any case, the story is simple, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created mankind in another form, in form of what is known as atoms, atomic stage, as they call it, alam eva, right? And what he did was, this is the interesting part, Shaheed Mutahhari, Ayatullah Mutahhari refers to this particular part. Apparently no scholar before him had drawn the attention to this interesting aspect of the verse, which says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ashhadahum ala anfusihim. That means Allah made them witness their own selves, to look at themselves. Allah told them, look at yourselves. Right? So they looked at themselves. Then Allah says, Alastu bi rabbikum? Am I not your Lord? Now the interesting thing is, if you look at something, Allah asks you to look at something, He is supposed to ask you about the thing you're looking. If I tell you to testify against them, I tell you, look at this, study this. Right? And then I ask you a question about myself, or I ask you questions about this, when I want you to testify something, I would ask you questions about the object I give you to testify against. So if I tell you, take this, study it, right? Then I turn around and ask you about myself. What is the link between me and the object you're looking at? This verse, Ashhadahum ala anfusihim, that Allah made them look at themselves. Then he asks, Alastu bi rabbikum, am I not your Lord? And Ayatullah Mutahhari says that the link between these two, that is that particular being that was being witnessed by everybody, and Allah, is like the link in a mirror. You see, if you look at a mirror, if a mirror was alive and could talk, right? If the mirror looks at itself, there is nothing it can do. It can only reflect back images if there are objects outside. So by itself, mirror is just like another piece of glass. But the moment an object is produced in front of a mirror, now the mirror will reflect exact dimensions, size, length, depth, you name it. An object that has been placed before it. So a mirror becomes useful when the object has been placed before it, and the mirror will only be able to give you virtual images of something that is there. If there is nothing there, it is as good as useless. A human being is like that with regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our relationship vis-a-vis Allah is that we ourselves inherently are useless. And by looking at ourselves there at that time, we realized how useless we are and helpless we are. That is why Allah then turns back to him and says, am I not your master? Am I not in control of every particular function that you have in your hand? And a human being realizes that by looking at himself, that Allah is my master. That is why when you find this hadith of Imam Ali alayhi salam says, man arafa nafsahu faqad arafa rabbah. Somebody who looks at himself will identify his Lord, right? That comes from this verse, that Allah first asked people not to look at him or his creation. He first asked, look at yourselves. And at the first glance, when people looked at themselves, Allah said, am I not your Lord? They said, yes, you are, O Lord. قَالُوا شَهِدْنَا أَن تَقُولُوا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِنَّا كُنَّا عَنْ هَذَا غَافِلِينَ. Right? So that on the day of judgment, you do not say, we did not know about this. We knew about it. Right? Now.
In this earth, they don't know.
Sorry?
In this earth, there's some who deny. And nobody has got any memory of this place.
There are scholars who deny. But memory is explained. You see, people who don't remember, right? It's just the transfer from one stage to another stage is enough to forget. Right? It's like a child moving out from the mother's womb, right? Not only will not remember, but will look at this world like it is the final abode, right? The child's perception is that this is the final abode. I've come to my final abode, right? Because the dimensions are so vastly different. That's the whole, that is the reason they give. The scholars who argue for, because the scholars who disagree with the atomic stage, that this stage never took place, don't have an explanation for the source.
Point being, there's no memory. I mean, nobody can claim to have a memory of that stage, I don't think.
Or even if they do have, they might have forgotten to come
out. Yeah, the point is, such a memory is then of no use. So it cannot be used as an example against the people. Maybe they will be.
No, but
they
don't
forget. You might remember it.
The guidance that comes is there to remind. فَذَكِّرْ إِنَّ فَعَتِ الذِّكْرَ فَذَكِّرْ إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُذَكِّرْ. Right? The title that has been given to the Prophet is somebody who has been sent to remind. All the prophets came with that message. And that their task was to remind. Now, what do you remind somebody of? Something that he has forgotten. Right? And therefore, constantly you find the use of this message of belief in the Holy Quran is of that somebody knows and has forgotten. Now, it may be that forgetting is not deliberate, number one. Number two, it is not something irreversible, right? And number three, it may be because of so many factors, natural factors that are beyond our control. And that is why Allah puts into place the system of guidance, where He sends books, He sends messengers, and He sends what we call proofs, hujj, to show, right? So, Hazrat Adam alayhi salam forgets, وَنَسِيَ وَلَمْ نَجِدْ لَهُ عَزْمًا. Right? Again, this is an interesting translation by S.U.M. Rahmat Ali, which says that we did not find him having intention to sin. Right? Whereas there is nothing in the verse itself to indicate that this azma. Azma is resolution. Right? Resolve. So, what Allah says that He did not find in him the resolve, the resolute, right? To disobey or to obey. He doesn't say. لَمْ نَجِدْ لَهُ عَزْمًا. Actually, reading it in Arabic, I would understand it as meaning something that we did not find Adam to be, to having strong willpower. That, right? He was not firm, he was not resolute.
Decisive.
As in tilka min azmil umur, the other part is where the azmil umur is firm and resolute. Okay, I want to do this, that's it. Nothing to change. Right? Now, this is the first introduction. The story itself needs a lot of introduction. As we say, هَذَا يَحْتَاجُ إِلَى مُقَدَّمَاتٍ. We need a lot of introductions. So please bear with me in case one or the other are not in chronological order. Now, so this was the first part. The second part is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you go into Jannah and leave there and stay there, He says in Surah Al-Baqarah, He says this in Surah Al-A'raf, right? وَيَا آدَمُ اسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةَ فَكُلَا مِنْ حَيْثُ شِئْتُمَا وَلَا تَقْرَبَا هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةَ فَتَكُونَا مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Oh Adam, you and your wife, stay in this Jannah and eat from it as much as you like. But do not approach this tree. فَتَكُونَا مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ.
What's the meaning? Why that choice of that word? فَتَكُونَ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Or you will become one of the unjust.
If you do it.
Why unjust? Unjust to yourself.
Well, we'll come to the... You see, I think primarily here we have to understand whether Adam disobeyed or did he not. Or rather, the disobedience is there. Yeah, Adam did disobey, right? But what did Allah mean by تَقْرَبَ? Not approach this tree. What is the tree that Allah was referring to? And if Adam did disobey Allah, then did he commit a sin? And was it something that he was not a masoom? Mind you, I must tell you that this particular verse is used. This is the strongest evidence people who do not believe in ismat of prophets have against prophets. People who disagree with our belief that all prophets are masoom, the strongest piece of evidence is here. Because the words used are extremely strong words. Wa asa Adam. Asa is ma'siyah. Ma'siyah is sin. right? وَعَسَىٰ آدَمُ رَبَّهُ فَغَوَىٰ. غَوَىٰ is to be led astray. فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي, Allah, Shaitan says, yeah, فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَأَغْوِيَنَّهُمْ, I will mislead them. So, غَوَىٰ is to be misled. So, Adam disobeyed, as in sinned, and was misled. Then, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا فَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. These are admissions by Adam and Hawa that we were unjust to ourselves. Now, ظُلْم عَلَى النَّفْسِ is also a kind of sin. All these words are such strong words that it forms the strongest piece of evidence that people who do not believe in the Ismat of Anbiya have. Now, I think this is how I will approach it. Let's look at the tafsir before we look at the overall picture. By tafsir, I mean we look at the meanings attributed to these individual words of interest, like tree and Jannah and all that. Then we will look at the overall picture to understand it in light of Ismat and some very interesting tafsirs that some scholars have, right? First of all, the Jannah. Now, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, enter this paradise, this Jannah, is it referring to the Jannah of the Day of Judgment that we know, which is called Jannatul Khuld, and eternal, right? Because anybody who goes there will not come back, will not come out from it, will not be sent to hell from them, right? So that Jannah is Jannatul Khuld. Can it be Jannatul Khuld? Because Jannatul Khuld is understood as somebody who enters it will never leave. Therefore that is immediately negated, that it cannot be Jannatul Khuld, because Adam was taken out from that Jannah. Number one. Number two, is that Jannah on this earth? Or is it a transitionary stage? Where, you know, between the skies and this earth, there was a garden created specially, specifically for Adam and Hawa to stay there before they come down to earth. Mind you, you must remember one thing, that Allah created Adam to be sent down to this earth. إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. So Adam was created in the first place with the intention to send down to earth, right? But he did not come down to earth at one go. There was a transition, and this is Ayatullah Tabatabai's tafsir, that there was a transition stage by what he calls Jannatun Barzakhiyah. Barzakh is a transition phase. Barzakh is that stage where after Qabr, after death, we are in Barzakh up to the Day of Judgment, right? So similarly, he calls this Jannatun Barzakhiyah. That means it has similarities to that paradise of eternity, and it has similarities to this earth. It is something in between that was created on a temporary basis for Adam and Hawa to stay there and then come out. That is why, he explains, we can find that in this Jannah, Iblis was not there. Iblis could have influence over people in Jannah. Could have influence, right? So he believes that this was in that transitionary phase. As far as Shajara goes, that is the tree.
So, Al-Jannah means it was known, can it? Definitely, yes, it is. It's one question.
It was known to who?
To
Adam. No.
Iblis had...
It's like they were taken to the paradise and entered the paradise.
No. Iblis had power in that Barzakh stage over them. Does he have power in this Barzakh stage? After we die, Barzakh.
There are no action. There was action.
There was action.
So Iblis had power to influence the course of actions, right? Iblis cannot do anything else. After that, in that stage of Barzakh, there are no deeds. And so Iblis cannot influence. I mean, there is no room for influence, right? However, sate, we must understand which is the shajara that was refused, the tree. Hadithma, this tree is referred to as a tree of hibba is wheat. Wheat to the tree, no, even stalks, yeah? They do not approach this. And it's been mentioned in more than one hadith that it was Shajarat al-Hibra, right? Now, لا تقرب, do not come near, does not mean do not eat. This is one explanation given by Fassari. Probably S.V. Mila Madari. Okay, I wish to present today this theory that is not even found in Ayatullah Kamal Faizal. This theory was presented by this Sayyid Kamal Haider. And believe me, it answers a lot of questions. The way he put it, that what does this shajari refer to, and how shaitan influenced and all that, it answers so many questions at one go by accepting the theory. Right? Now whether the theory is right or wrong is not for us to decide. Wallahu al-alam. That is one thing. Secondly, you must remember that there are no set answers to the questions that may arise. Please. Ayatullah Tabatabai in his book At-Tafsir very clearly says, in particular one sentence, he says as to how Iblis entered paradise is something that cannot be found in any answer. Right? Again, the question comes, okay, how did Iblis enter the paradise? Did Allah send him there? Did Allah allow him to go there? If he could influence, he had to have proximity. So how did he go in there? And in that theory that Ayatollah Tabatabai says that this was a transitionary Jannah, then it had to have Iblis in the picture. Now, how? He himself says that as to how Iblis entered the paradise, there are no answers found in any hadith. So we must remember that in this session, we may get a lot of questions that will have no set answers, because these are only theories of tafsir, that this is how it could have happened. Wallahu al-alam. Basic lessons we learn. We now want to go into deeper in understanding these various issues, right?
Did Iblis mistake him when he allowed him to make a course in their thoughts? Allow him to flow in their
things.
Did he not say, allow me to flow in their blood? That's why you have started with Adam directly.
No, but then that majrab dam is another kind of Iblis. The one talking to them and telling them this is.
No, I will. He came physically to them.
But not to Adam. Our belief is he can't come close to Adam.
Because Allah says, I won't let you come close.
Ibadan al-Mukhlasin.
That is another problem. I was afraid according to this.
How does this. You see, there are so many questions that will come, right? You'll find answers like jigsaw puzzles. Or at the end of the day, you'll have to put them together. Okay, I can't go through a chronology or, theory. At the end of the day, we got to put pictures together. Okay, let me put this theory first of all. This theory says that Adam al-Islam was created for earth. And in actual fact, the paradise that Allah is referring to was the earth. Mind you, Jannah can also mean garden. Right? Was this earth. Because this earth at that time had nothing, no problems at all. Peaceful. No other human beings to create the chaos that is there today in this world. Nothing. So it was peaceful. Now, Allah told him that do not approach this world, dunya. Do not attach yourself to this world. Let's put it that way. Right? If you increase your love for the place you are in, your attachment, your reliance on it, then you will be punished. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what happened with Adam al-Islam was that Iblis came to him and said, shall I show you how to live forever?
There's someone outside.
Yeah. Right? So Iblis was showing him ways of how to live forever on this earth. And Adam switched, or rather got inclined towards doing something that was worldly. And that was what Allah had refused him. Right? So the shajara that he's referring to is in actual fact the earth. In response to his action of showing an inclination towards this world, Allah said, Fahbid, fahbitu habata does not physically mean coming from a higher stage to a lower stage. Habata is also where a status of a person which is high becomes low. Right? Now, this theory, I found it quite interesting because it has evidence in the Holy Quran. Look at Surah Taha. Surah Taha describes Jannah. فَقُلْنَا verse number 117. فَقُلْنَا يَا آدَمُ إِنَّ هَذَا عَدُوٌّ لَكَ وَلِزَوْجِكَ فَلَا يُخْرِجَنَّكُمَا مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ فَتَشْقَى. Right? If he removes you from this paradise, what will happen? Will you enter hell? No. Allah says, if he removes you from this paradise, you will toil and struggle. What do you have on this Jannah? You have innaka inna laka alla taju'a fiha wa la ta'ra wa annaka la tadma'u fiha wa la tadha. These are the specifications of the Jannah he is in. That you will not go hungry, you will not go without clothes, you will not go thirsty, and you will not have to sacrifice. Right? If you are taken out from this Jannah, you will have to struggle. And that is the life we are facing on this earth right now. That because Adam showed inclination towards the world, Allah says, now everything will not be easy for you. Now you will have to work hard for what you want. You will have to toil. You will have to struggle. Right? So that inclination, لَا تَقْرَبَ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ, is towards this world. It explains how Iblis could be here. It explains how Iblis could get proximity. It explains these very verses which says فَتَشْقَى. Right? Now, this theory is, like I said, وَاللَّهُ الْعَلِمُ. Allah knows better. Because no way you will find any mufassir explaining this theory. But I found it quite plausible. Okay. Yeah.
When he says, I will banish you from it. Okay, he's not talking about from the earth, he's talking about from the garden.
Banish you, he's talking about from the state.
Oh, from the
from
state.
The status. Adam was created with a status close to Allah.
And also, we were saying, to make the assumption, there were no other human beings.
Huh?
You know, we were saying there were no other human beings. One of the theories that we were talking about last week was perhaps there were other human beings, but remember this theory of evolution, for example?
Look. I remember. Please tell me.
Yeah, but I'm just not saying it's wrong. There's no evidence that it's wrong.
No, you're right, man.
No, if you dig bones and bones say these are human bones which are, you know, 100,000 years old, you can't say, well, Allah just put it there to make a joke.
Mustafa, isn't there a Jannah in earth, Jawad is?
Shaddad is Jannah.
Yeah.
Shaddad is Jannah. He is the Shaddad Baneo Hatti. Shaddad himself made paradise in defiance.
Which is Shaddad?
Allah can make paradise.
Yeah.
Something like that. He was in that Pharaonic descendancy, yeah? He made a whole paradise full of perfumes and garden. First step he took, yeah? So that is Shaddad's Jannah. This we're talking of, okay, this world can be your paradise. Can be our paradise. But the more we attach ourselves,
the
more we have to struggle.
The biblical theory is close to that. In Eden, where they came, was on earth. The Garden of Eden was on earth. And when they left it, Cain went east of Eden. And that is where they began to worship the fire and all that.
Abel died.
But Cain moved east of Eden.
Again, even moving east of Eden would not mean physically moving in each direction. This is how, if you look at how these verses are being.
Okay, Taha Maiche, you notice, okay, Jarnu Nathi, but Khavanu Che. What is that?
Huh?
The tree is not mentioned, but the eating is mentioned.
Fa akala minha.
Yeah, but tree Nathi mentioned.
No, it's just, Hal adulluka ala shajara fil khuldi wa mulk illa yabla.
No, but Allah Nathi gives.
No. Don't come near. Right? That's the word used, isn't it?
Not in Taha.
Not in Taha. In Surah Al-A'raf and Surah Al-Baqarah. لا تقرب هذه الشجرة فتكون من الظالمين. Right? So the theory is, this is one theory, huh? One theory is that this shajara was not a true tree. It was symbolic of what is on this earth. And this Jannah was not a paradise. Because the paradise that Allah describes for the Day of Judgment, for the paradise of the Day of Judgment, he says, Anharun tajri fiha. من تحتها تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها right لهم فيها ما يشاءون they will get whatever they wanted. This paradise is not like that. This paradise Allah describes لك لا تجوع فيها ولا تعب. Allah speaks of the basic necessities of us human beings on this earth. You will not get hungry. You will not go clothless. Yet if you look at that, this is the following verse, verse number 121 in the same surah. فَأَكَلَا مِنْهَا فَبَدَتْ لَهُمَا سَوْآتُهُمَا وَطَفِقَا يَخْصِفَانِ عَلَيْهِمَا مِنْ وَرَقِ الْجَنَّةِ. Right? There Allah says, you will not go clothless. Here Allah says, when they ate the apple or they ate the fruit or they ate, what happened was that their Sawatuhuma. How has it been translated?
So feathers got a point.
Nakedness. So they began looking for papers, leaves of the trees to cover themselves up. There is no need for clothes in the Jannah. Now because they partake, they ate something from the tree, now they need clothes to cover themselves. They didn't have any clothes, they started using the leaves from the garden. Right? Now, Safar, just a minute. The badat lahuma sawatuhuma, their nakedness appeared. Now appeared not as in physical. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He created Adam, He created him a human being, physically complete, not incomplete. What appeared was the consciousness. Suddenly now they were conscious. I don't feel right.
They had to cover themselves.
They had to cover. They were probably not covered. Because there was no conscious.
There was no sense of
shame or remorse. Natural result.
That is why there is a hadith case, he swore to them and they had never heard such a swear lie before.
Naivety. Very simple minded people.
Innocence.
What was your point?
Yes, you answered it.
Have I?
Yeah, just about the nakedness. Because looked here, I said, well, hang on. It says here in the translation, nor shall you be naked.
Yes, and then here
they were naked.
Yeah, exactly.
It says, nor shall you be naked, but they were naked. That's what he was saying.
But then now you got the answer.
Yeah, because they weren't aware of their nakedness.
Absolutely.
Made with what you said. The Arabic, the English is not translated properly.
No.
What is that?
Ta'ara. Ta'ara is naked, literally.
Yeah.
Uryan, from the word Uryan. Right? Ta'ara is naked. Whereas here, Yakhsifani alayhima. Yakhsifani is to cover.
Yeah, so
Sawatuhuma is literally their genitals.
So they are the same.
Huh?
These two are the same ones.
You see, لَكَ أَلَّا تَجُوعَ فِيهَا وَلَا تَعْرَى. So you will never feel naked. That's it. That's the promise that Allah gives them, right? Amacheke, now that worldly instinct in them, that desire, was suddenly became conscious of it. And now they wanted to really hide themselves somewhere, right? How detail-wise, whether they were close, nahata, soto, it shows that it is not a very physical stage. It is somehow a metaphysical stage. They might not be wearing clothes, but there was no need to wear clothes. That atmosphere was, they were living together without shame. They had nothing like that.
Sure.
The moment they ate fruit, now they will have to look for clothes. So now they were no longer in the Jannah. The Jannah was there that they will not need clothes.
Those four things that they have been promised are gone now.
Are gone now. Now they'll have to struggle for those four things. That is why لا يخرج لجنكما من الجنة فتشقى. If they remove you, If Iblis removes you from the Jannah, you will have to toil and struggle. Tashqa is from the word shaqawa. Shaqawa is literally means to struggle hard, right? And that is exactly what happened to Adam alayhi salam. Allah forgave him. He remained a prophet. He was a ma'soom, as we will look at all these things, right? His only mistake was that he got close to the world, and hence the world, Allah imposed on him the system of toil and struggle. So there is no reason to believe that he was in Jannah and came down to this earth, because Allah had created for him the earth in the first place. Then why the need for Jannah? Allah sent him to this earth and said, this earth will be a paradise for you if you don't approach it. If you get attracted to the basic instincts or desires or love for this world, then you're going to be enslaved. You'll have to struggle, you'll have to toil to get what I have asked you.
So it wasn't one of these
not even Adam, Allah.
So you're saying that if shaitan is a necessary factor?
Shaitan is a very important necessary factor in determining لِيَمِيزَ اللَّهُ طَيِّبَ مِنَ الْخَبْرِ. Allah says in the Quran that he's able to discern from the bad ones, the good ones from the bad ones. How does he do that? How does he identify and recognize? There has to be a litmus. That litmus is...
I mean, that's an argument, but Allah already knows from the day we're born exactly what we are. He doesn't need all this rigmarole to figure
it out. It's
for us. It's for us.
Absolutely. This what is happening now is for us. Infinite knowledge of Allah from the day He created Adam, or He created the light of the Holy Prophet, up to the day of the judgment. You think Allah does not know what is going to happen? Allah knows, infinite knowledge, right? So how can I tell you? Siddha banaye ne mane kya tu jahannam ma ja? What would I have said? I would have told him, what for? So it's for us. Allah is giving the time to prove to us that you are going to do exactly what I knew you were going to do.
So how do we know
that
Iblis is also metaphorical as well? Just
as
whole story.
No, Iblis is not metaphorical,
is it? His whole story seems so different from what he said. It could be metaphorical. So couldn't Iblis be representing the power of evil?
No, Iblis is not metaphorical. Like Adam and Hawa are not metaphorical. Right? What I am saying is, what is metaphorical is the use of the words like tree and paradise. Those, the players are true. The scene, the scenery, yeah? Is not ditto. Garden, tree, eating from a tree, no. These are symbols used to represent other actions. Right? So the players are true players. Iblis was there, Adam was there, Hawa was there.
It seems strange that he would choose one jinn to make him the shaitan.
Allah did not choose.
Iblis wasn't his top up for being...
No, Allah knew exactly how this Iblis is going to react. And so he set other things based on what is going to happen. You must exactly as you know. Right? Allah knew, and this knowledge had no role in Iblis deciding. Allah knew, that's all. It doesn't influence anything. Actually, Allah knows what you're going to do next. Is it going to influence you in any way of what to do? It's not. So Allah's knowledge is different. And keep that separate totally.
He did create the whole system
based on that knowledge.
I think the question is, why did he do it? That's the deeper question. Why did he do it? What's the point of all this?
Why did he do it?
He wanted to what?
Last time we did that. He wanted to what?
He discovered.
He discovered.
With all his malakas to discover it.
Allah wanted to. إِنِّي كُنْتُ كَنْزًا مَخْفِيًّا فَأَحْبَبْتُ أَنْ أُعْرِفَ. I was a hidden treasure. It is a trait. Mind you, I must get this thing right. It is a trait that is not encouraged in human beings. Baba Shikha, in you, even if you are a hidden potential, if you had a hidden talent, would you like, would people like you to go brag about it and then so that people come to know you? Is that a good behavior?
If I want to be discovered, I have an ego problem.
You have an ego problem, but I'm right. But that is not a lot.
Yeah,
right?
We're trying to understand this.
You're trying to understand that?
Because Allah says that all the good things are His sifas that we try to adopt.
What about Mutta Kabir? Is he not proud? Is pride not his by right? It is his by right. Amaru by right nahi. That ego problem is not our right. All the talent we have is from him. That is why it is not right. It is not that because we are better than others. It is simply because what you have is not yours. It is Allah who has given you. And so if you don't realize that, then you have, as you say, an ego problem.
But even if you are a good person, you have it's the question of akhlaq. Whatever qualities you have, there is no akhlaq in behaving like that in front of other people.
Why? Because it is not simply right for yours to behave like that. Ajay, even let's say, for example, okay, I have enough money to sponsor an orphanage in India, for example, right? I go to India. For 10 years I have been supporting this from A to Z. Every single penny that is used in that orphanage, I have been sending it for 10 years, right? I go there after 10 years. Would I not have that feeling in me, insan, I am a human being. Would I not have the feeling in me that Ajay, orphan joy, nela orphans ne jo ne, to I will ahunkari usho. And if only orphan or any part of the team or staff ke management misbehaves in front of me, what would I feel? Ke sala ne kaam na ho tu paisa na muklao to. Insan chu. Right? At the end of the day, the bottom line is this my money? Do I have the right to do it? Right? It is what Allah has blessed me with. If I am doing it, I am doing the right thing for myself. No, nobody else.
No, but the question is, it was your choice. You made the decision.
Barabar.
If you have not made the decision.
Now, after making the decision, is it my right to sort of...
You should be proud of the fact that you made that decision rather than making another decision.
This is it. I had the opportunity and I exploited the opportunity. I was blessed and I did it. But I should have that underlying knowledge in me. Okay, this had this not been by favors bestowed on me from Allah, right? I would not have been able to do it.
Even making that choice
is a favor
from Allah.
Right, let's go on.
One more thing to find out. This fruit, or this what he ate, what exactly what was it? Was it wheat he ate? Or was it, again, that's a metaphor?
Yeah.
It's not something he physically ate.
In this particular theory, it is not something.
Then was a plant also a metaphor? So we say wheat.
Plant is a staple.
No, that is also, that is...
It might be food, but a staple food, isn't it?
And shajara that is used, what we explained before, was explanation is given in books of the Farsis. Right?
Apples and other fruits mentioned, haven't you?
Tafsir. Apples has been mentioned, right? Enab has been mentioned, grapes.
This is all in Tafsir.
Tafsir. In this particular theory, right, all these questions disappear. Was the fruit apple or roots or grapes?
So what does this theory say?
This theory says that Adam alayhi salam got attached to the world, right? And that was partaking from the tree.
Actually,
there was a real tree.
The dunya was the tree.
Imam Ali, Razal Islam, was asked Mahmud's court what was the tree? The tree was attachment.
He
wanted to leave
attachment for the tree.
Yes.
Actually, I read it ages ago, but check it out.
Right.
Page 73.
You find it.
Sorry, it's Imam Ali ibn al-Husayn. That Imam didn't love him. His frivolous desires for worldly possessions as the ultimate object. And our Imam Ali Musa Riza, desire for things that are not necessary for life.
Things that are unnecessary for life. Mm. Symbol
of temptation, tree.
Tree of temptation. Right? Fa'akala minha, there's not physically means you can eat something. Fa'akala minha, it means he then part of that. Some part of it was attached to.
Now, I had a question that reminds me of another tafsir. Peygamber about him being astray. So, وَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَىٰ Imam Imam Ali Ridhan Boyd was saying, the Prophet was lost amongst the people. Okay, what was his true nature?
Ah.
And that is what Dal means here.
Okay.
Fahada doesn't mean hadaka, but means ke he guided the people to realize what have they got in their midst by bringing him forward. About God being something hidden and then
explained.
Imam Ridhaka means that Peygamber was not known in Medina, in Hijaz, what was he actually in front of him. Fahada means he guided people to you. But they were Kaiwa.
Right. If this theory is plausible, then it means the question of what was the tree, the question of how it is entered the paradise, the question of all these questions, isn't it? Even I look at it. Right? You didn't really understand. So this was what it was, right? But then we go on to the next stage of the story. Same story. Okay. Then Allah says that Adam disobeyed. فَعَصَى آدَمُ رَبَّهُ فَغَوَى Right? As in Surah Taha. Or this verse in Surah Al-A'raf which says قَالَ رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ Now, this part where Adam disobeyed, nobody can say Adam did not disobey, because Allah is very clear in the usage of the words that Adam did disobey. The question is that did this disobedience make him outside the circle of Masoom, and how do we tell it with our belief that Allah, that all the prophets are Masoom?
Here it doesn't say that. Here it says something else. It says, and Adam acted not to the advice of his Lord. The evil of Beckett, by the way.
Asa no sushatusha.
That's what it says, and acted not.
Asa is ma'asya. Like, this is Surah Taha you're looking at, yeah?
Yeah, 121.
Yeah.
Yamalay kujaket, he deceived them.
That is Iblis.
Fadallahuma bi ghurur.
Huh?
No, 121.
Fadal. دَلَّاهُمَا بِغُرُورٍ
Somehow he tricked them.
غُرُور عَلَى سُغَرُورٍ
That's a غُرُور عَلَى فَرَيْدٍ
مَغْرُور,
huh?
مَغْرُور عَلَى
فَرَيْدٍ
Right, yeah. فَدَلَّاهُمَا بِغُرُورٍ With all confidence, he led them, with all that confidence. That's how he did it. But, okay, Adam alayhi salam was in a world, he was very innocent, very naive. Never, somebody had never been to him using the name of Allah.
Snake oil salesman.
Right? So, the lahuma bi ghururin, there was no hesitation even in Iblis showing him the rumpa. This is how the ghurur comes in. Iblis was not even hesitant that split of a second to allow Adam to think, yeah, this might be a lie. Right? Iblis was so sure, was so confident of himself. Right? He came and he said, Akau, you will live forever. Or you will become angels. And I swear in the name of Allah. I take an oath in the name of Allah. Now, Adam and Hawa, which are Allah. Right? They knew nothing. No lies, nothing.
No, but also Allah had already told him.
Yeah,
moreover, is your opponent.
Whether Iblis has.
So, even then, when it comes to ensuring that must
he was wary. I think he was wary of him, but Iblis got him by swearing on Allah.
That was the clinching factor. You see, don't forget, the turn of events was not that Iblis came first time from the other monkey. No. Waswasa. You know what is waswasa? Waswasa, it starts with the thought. Then it grows. Then it breeds within you. Right? Then it grows into something. Then you contemplate doing it. Right? That is how waswasa starts. Okay?
Kasam khada rakha.
Kasam khada, no.
21.
I was improving the ismat of all prophets in light of this case of Hazrat Adam. Did Adam disobey? And if Adam disobeyed, sin. The word used is asaf, right? How can you tell it the belief that all prophets are masum? Okay. Before we get to explaining Adam's act, or rather action, right, we have to go through two introductions. One is understanding the Quran in the light of muhkamat and mutashabhat. And the second one is then proving the ismat of all anbiya from the Quran. And then third thing, explaining was Adam's action. Right? Muhkamat and mutashabhat. What is the verse in Surah Al-A'raf? Surah Ali Imran, verse number 7. Muhkamat and Mutashabihat. هُوَ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ مِنْهُ آيَاتٍ مُحْكَمَاتٌ هُنَّ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ وَأُخَرَ مُتَشَابِهَاتٌ فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهُ ابْتِغَاءَ فِتْنَةٍ وابتغاء تأويله وما يعلم تأويله إلا الله والراسخون في العلم يقولون آمنا به كل من عند ربنا وما يذكر إلا أولو الألباب. You see, محكمات and متشابهات are both in the Quran. محكمات are categorical verses. Verses are very clear cut. متشابهات which are vague, which have to be explained. Right? Now, muhkamat are those verses that form the principles of our beliefs. Mutashabihat are those verses that do not tally with our principles and therefore have to be placed under, you have to refer back to our muhkamat to get an answer for mutashabihat. Right? That is the rule of understanding the verses of the Quran. Now the question is, every verse does not have at the end of the verse written that this is muhkam and this is mutashabah. How would you know which is muhkam and which is mutashabah? And mind you, this is a very interesting, important aspect of understanding the Quran. For there are so many aspects in our belief of the Holy Quran that we need to understand which is muhkam and which is mutashabah. For example, the issue of Allah, does he have a form, physical form or not? بَلْ يَدَاهُ مَبْسُوطَتَانِ. Allah says in the Holy Quran, His two hands are wide open. Right? يَدُ اللَّهُ فَوْقَ أَيْدِهِ. His hand is over their hands. So when He uses hands, does it not indicate that He has a form? That is the testimony, that is the evidence that people who believe that Allah has a form are using. Right? Whereas Allah in the other hand says, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. He says that in the Holy Quran, there is nothing like him. So which one forms the principle underlying our belief? Which verse forms the muhkamat? And which verse forms the mutashabah? So that we refer back to the muhkam and we don't go to the mutashabah. Right? That is a principle we have to understand first and foremost. Mind you, imagine if we out of context, or rather even within context, but isolated verses about it. Prophet Allah says in the Holy Quran like this. Now, how do you explain that? We can't do that. This is where Allah is referring to in this surah, Surah Ali Imran, verse number 7. He says, فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ
زَيْغٌ إِلَّا
فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ Translated as فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ They will follow that which is not clear cut, which is vague. مِنْهُ That is the verses. اِبْتِغَاءَ الْفِتْنَةِ They want to create confusion. وَابْتِغَاءَ تَأْوِيلِهِ And they want to interpret it on their little meaning. وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ That interpretation is not known except to Allah and those who are firmly entrenched in religion. وَالْرَاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ Right? يَقُولُونَ Who are these رَاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ They are saying, يَقُولُونَ آمَنَّا بِهِ We have brought faith in these verses. In Allah. Right? كُلٌّ مِنْ عِنْدَ رَبِّنَا Both, all these verses, that is those that are clear cut and those that are not, are all from Allah. Now we have to come to understanding how do you tally it to that? Right? So, when we look at this verse, وَعَسَىٰ آدَمُ رَبَّهُ فَغَوَىٰ That Adam did commit a sin. Is that a mutashabih or a muhkam? And the evidence, the first indicator used is aqla. Okay, whether this verse tallies with what our intellect tells us or not. Say for example, if we were to study with Allah, about Allah, to take a physical form, when it comes to the verses that says Allah's hands are over here, their hands, or Allah's hands are extended out, right? بَلْ يَدَاهُ مَبْسُطَةً When these verses come, the first resort, our resort, is our intellect. That does it make sense that Allah has hands and arms? Logical. Does it make sense? Because anything that has a physical form has to occupy space, is composed of material, has weight and so on. And as you add these things that come together with a physical form, you suddenly find this cannot be Allah. So it takes you back and say, now look for something which could explain. Right? Similarly, when it comes to the case of prophets, you have to look at the spirit of all the verses that talk about the prophet and find an overlying principle. Also, you have to look at the spirit of all the ahadith that are there. Then you can determine, okay, our verse, is it a muhkam or a mutashabih? So this particular verse, وَعَسَىٰ آدَمْ رَبَّهُ فَغَوَىٰ Right? Is not the rule, it is the exception. Exception, whether it was a sin or not, we will discuss about that later, please. It is not a general rule. That one has to be, that much has to be understood in order not to negate the ismat of all Anbiya, of all prophets, the way the Sunnis have done. The Sunnis have taken this verse and said, because it cannot be applicable for Adam, it is not applicable for all prophets. Right? And then of course they go to that stage where it says, Taha Madna. إِنَّا فَتَحْنَا لَكَ فَتْحًا مُبِينًا لِيَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأْخَرَ Right? Allah says that I have concluded an absolute victory, a clear victory for you, so that I forgive you your sins, what was done before and after, in future, past and future. Right? So, dhamb is a sin. And therefore they say the Prophet must have sinned. All these words, the use of these words.
He thought
In any case, Surah Yunus, the Nabi Yunus is interesting here. is that the Holy Prophet was told, وَلَا تَكُنْ كَصَاحِبِ الْحُوتِ. You know that? Do not be like the companion of the whale. Prophet is being told not to be like a prophet. Go, Quran verse. How do you explain that? That is what we have to understand. لَا تَكُمْ كَصَاحِبِ الْحُوتِ. When he was somewhere, I was so shocked. I said, oh, this is interesting. The plot thickens in the body. Let me find this verse for you, صاحب الحوت. 68 48 فاصبر لحكم ربك ولا تكن كصاحب الحوت إذ نادى وهو مكظوم لولا أن تداركه نعمة من ربه لنبذ بالعراء وهو مذموم فاجتباه ربه فجعله من الصالحين. Hurry! Let's not deviate from what we were discussing. If this is understood, the principle of what is meant by the Shahada.
Can we come back to this, what you were talking about? When Allah says, I open both my hands towards you, of course He doesn't mean His hands. But we know what it does mean. He means, I'll support you, I'll raise you.
The function of the organ.
We know, yeah. It's a metaphor.
Metaphor.
So what? So what? Means the malaika rose outside. What else can it mean? What else can it mean?
So we go back to this one and the other one.
Yadullah
Qaidi. Right? We know what that means. It means that it's a metaphor. What is the metaphor for Asaf? And he sinned. Okay, so he didn't really sin.
No,
what did he do?
We'll come to that. We're still in the spot. I agree. What I'm saying is, this is the general principle of what's coming in the Shahada, right? However, what is Asa Masiya? Right? Asa is literally what it means. It is.
There's no compromise with that word.
There is. Relax. There is. Right. If this is understood, then let us look at the verse that says, all prophets are masum. So that we know that that is the dhuhka, right? And then look at the Asa, right? Now, the one that talks of all prophets are ma'asum is verse 469. Surat 4, Surat An-Nisa, verse 69. Right? What does the verse say? وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. Right? Those who obey Allah and the Prophet are amongst those who are with all the Prophets. صِدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ. Whatever that has been translated as here. I just am interested in two things in this particular verse. Is that those who obey Allah and the Prophet are with those who have been blessed, an'am Allah. Right? Now, an'am Allahu alayhim include all the Prophets, an-nabiyyin. Right? An-nabiyyin is complete usage. It's not ba'd al-anbiya, ba'd al-nabiyyin. It is an-nabiyyin, which means all. No exclusion, no exception, right? An-Nabiyyin, As-Siddiqeen, الشهداء والصالحين. These are people who have been blessed by Allah. الذين أنعم الله عليهم. Now the question is, who are these on whom the ni'mat of Allah is? What have they been granted with? What have they been granted with?
They have been granted with صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. These are the people guiding me to the path of those who are on the right path, the path of those you have blessed, not the path of those with whom you are angry, nor of those who have deviated. ولا الضالين means that they have gone astray, right? So, ضالين is little sinning. جرك عدو فريجو إلى صراط المستقيم لبارج.
Forever or just
temporary?
Forever, why can I? I'm a point here. Minan Nabiyin doesn't mean part of them.
No, it doesn't.
Doesn't it mean part?
Minan, from.
Yeah, I know. That was the first thing I thought of. I'll tell you why it doesn't. Because Minan Nabiyin khali hotte without the Siddiqeen and Shuhada and Salihin, right? Then it would mean part. But Hasuna ulaika rafika, it could be min as-salihin. You know what it is? The from is the four categories. Either the prophets, or the chosen ones, or the pious ones.
Is that like, I mean, you could argue with this with an Arabic scholar.
There is an argument that this min is not min at-tab'il. You know, there is min at-tab'il, which means من المؤمنين من آمن ذي وكاي شيء آيات ما right that from the believers there are those. This من التبعير from that is part partitioning from as it is called is used only in one category. When you have one category of people or object, the moment you have three or four, right, then you are saying either from the prophets or from the pious people. So the from is not from within each category, is from the four categories you can have two or three.
Okay, so if you wanted to say from within each category, how would you say it?
If Allah wanted to show min al-tab'il, then He would have said, listen to this Arabic, huh? فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَمِنَ الصِّدِّيقِينَ وَمِنَ الشُّهَدَاءِ وَمِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ.
And he's done that in other places.
Yeah. That is proper Arabic. Proper Arabic is that if مِنَ التَّبْعِيدِ هُوَ كَأَمَاتِ ثُورَانِ تَوْ مِنْ جِنَ إِكْ شَبْدَ بِلَافِ. Otherwise, this min is referring to either from this category or from that category.
For example, they have the conviction to give an ultimate sacrifice, but they may have been sinners.
You see, the interesting theory is that scholars have differed, and Muslims generally, scholars have differed. Some scholars believe, because I'm not talking of Shias, we'll come to Shia scholars later. Sunni scholars, some believe that prophets could not sin. Okay? Some believe that prophets could only sin before buluh, before maturity.
Before buluh.
Some believe before ba'dah, right? Before being appointed as messengers, they could sin, right? Some believe that they could only commit minor sins. And so on. I mean, there are different variants of what their belief is, right? But our belief, Shia, is that a prophet could not sin, small or big, minor or major, right? Before or after that. before Gulu or after Gulu? They could not commit a sin. I just want to check. I've got three verses here. Let's go to Surah number 38. Surah number 38, verse number 45. وَذْكُرْ عِبَادَنَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ وَإِسْحَاقُ وَيَعْقُوبُ أُولِي الْأَيْدِي وَالْأَبْصَارِ إِنَّا أَخْلَصْنَاهُمْ بِخَالِصَةٍ ذِكْرَ الدَّارِ وَإِنَّهُمْ عِنْدَنَا لَمِنَ الْمُصْطَفَيْنَ الْأَخْيَارِ وَذْكُرْ إِسْمَعِيلَ وَالْيَسَعَ وَذَا الْكِفْلِ وَكُلُّمْ مِنَ الْأَخْيَارِ Right? So, أخيار are those names that have been mentioned before, those names that have been mentioned here, and others. وَكُلُّمْ مِنَ الْأَخْيَارِ كُلُّهُمْ مِنَ الْأَخْيَارِ نَيْ وَكُلُّمْ مِنَ الْأَخْيَارِ That means there are others who have not been named. Right? Then, what Allah says, إِنَّا أَخْلَصْنَاهُمْ أَخْلَصْنَاهُمْ is to make them pure, right? What we use the word mukhlasin, and this is the word used by Iblis, illa ibadaka mukhlasin. Laysa alayka, you know, I will not have power, la ghuyannahum ajma'in, illa ibadaka mukhlasin. And who are the mukhlasin? Allah says here, these are the ones akhlasna. So these are the ones on whom Shaitan, Iblis, by his own testimony says, I do not have power over them. I do not have any control to influence them. However, the word used, Qabari, the word used is, وَإِنَّهُمْ عِنْدَنَا لَمِنَ الْمُصْطَفَيْنَ الْأَخْيَارِ Mustafain is chosen ones, right? If you look at verse number 4, Surah number 4, Surah number 3, verse 33. You will see another verse yet. Verse 333, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى آدَمَ وَنُوحًا وَآلَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَآلَ عِمْرَانَ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ Who are the chosen ones? Here he names different people. اصْطَفَى, مُصْطَفَيْن, right? These are the words, you see similar usage of words that indicate that اصْطَفَى آدَمَ وَنُوحًا عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ And here these are the chosen ones, are the same people. And the chosen ones are those who we have purified. Inna akhlasnahum bi khalisati dhikrillah. Right? And who are the mukhlasin? The mukhlasin are those who by Iblis's own testimony says, we do not have influence over. Anybody who Iblis does not have influence over, no blemish. Sorry?
He had influence over that doesn't make sense.
He did influence us.
He did. If it was
for
Iblis, I
wouldn't
have done it.
We'll come to that, please. Some of you guys are jumping now.
Can you just pause for a moment on 46?
46. So the number?
The 38. When he said, we freed them from sinning with a distinction. And what is that distinction? Of remembrance of the abode. So does that mean they could remember what? They remembered. Previously.
Yes, remembered the abode, that means at every moment and instant in life, they would never be without remembering.
Okay. Not that then.
Remembering the abode is the hereafter, but yani. Olun yad na takhta ke liye.
No, because you know, Ekai has said that when people enter Jannah, they will say, we've seen this before.
That one was different. We saw that. Yeah. This one, that we khalas. You see, we've got to understand. Yeah, these people who are chosen ones, right? Why were they chosen? Why are they the elite of the selected ones? It's because they have this ability in them. They have this attribute. At every moment in time, they were in constant remembrance of Allah.
And they weren't given this attribute, they had this attribute. And that's why they were chosen. Yeah. That's why Allah chose them.
You know, the word freed.
Yeah.
Is that correctly translated?
Oh no. Akhlasnahum is not freed. Akhlasnahum purified them.
In the translation it says we freed them in brackets from sin. So does that mean they were sinning before?
No.
They freed them from
you protected them from sinning. You see, these people who took pain and who remembered Allah and death at all times. So Allah protected them from sins. You see, Prophet Yusuf, if I take you back to Prophet Yusuf's story, do you remember Prophet Yusuf's story? Do you remember that story? Wa hamma biha. Remember that part? Lawla an ra'a burhana rabbihi wa yusarrifa ayat. You see, wa yusarrifa su'a wal fahsha. Let's go to Surah Yusuf. Surah number 12. And now you will understand in light of Ismat and how prophets are selected.
24.
Yeah, verse number
24.
Surah Yusuf 12, verse number 24. Now you will understand what I had said then. Okay, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Yusuf, that Hammat bihi, that is Zulaikha, right? Hammat bihi, that is she showed, so she wanted to do the act. Wa hamma biha, lawla an ra'a burhana rabbihi, kadhalika linasrifa anhu su'a wal fahsha. And here this is very interesting, that Allah says, we averted the evil deed from Yusuf. We didn't protect Yusuf from the evil deed. The protection that Allah gives is that even the vice and the evil deed will not come near Yusuf. Not that He will protect Yusuf, that Yusuf will not go to the bad deed. This is the position that they have. That is why when we recite Surah Al-Ayat Tathir, we say, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمْ الرِّجْسَ. So Allah wants to remove the evil and vices from you. Not that He wants to protect you from them. He wants to turn these away from you, right? This is the extent of help that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives as far as infallibility is concerned. So Prophet Yusuf was there. Allah says that he wanted to turn away the vices from you, the evil from you, right?
Is it that they had the potential of making the same?
Of course. You see, the potential that is there in every human being is found in Prophet's life, right? Just let me finish. What it is that the potential is there, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects them, right? So that they will not be tempted or seduced into committing sins as easily as we are, with something in return. And that is that they must suffer more.
Actually, what He gives them is marifah.
Marifah. Understand.
Last time,
the vision they can see. Imam Ali al-Islam, an example, you've heard the story. I mentioned this here. Somebody came to bribe Imam Ali al-Islam. Imam Ali al-Islam asked him, if I give food to a snake, the snake eats it, and then the snake throws it out, and I give you that food, would you eat it? The person said, I wouldn't even think. He found it so disgusting and revolting. Similarly, Imam Ali Islam said, what you are offering me feels to me like that, right? So they had that understanding. Imam Zain al-Abidin, can I
say something?
The Imam says that is the same way our marifat is at that level, this would seem extremely below our dignity to do it. That is, I think that is how He protects them, by giving them that kind of knowledge, their insight. Again, what you feel here, they were men of insight.
Here's where it says in 24, Yusuf 24, the reason he did not long for her is because he had seen the evidence of his glory.
Ra'a burhana rabbihi.
That's the reason.
What you feel is, they were men of insight.
So it's not that Allah protects them, there's a ring of malaika around them and nobody can come.
Ulul Absar, Ulul Absar.
Ulul Absar,
they had insight.
Absar is the, you see, Basar and Basira, there are two words in Arabic, right? Basar is sight, Basira is the vision, right? So they had Ulul Absar, and they had that vision. Prophets are all ma'asum, right? That is our belief. prophets are all ma'soom, then the difference, is there a difference in the status of prophets or not?
There is.
Huh?
Quran
ma'am.
فَضَلْنَا
بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. Right? The Quran says itself that some prophets are better than other prophets. So better in what? If they are all infallible, better in what? If they are all infallible, then what are they better? Then, we used to know that when Imam Musa Kazim al-Islam, for example, would say in his munajat, when the fourth Imam would say in his munajat that I have sinned, what is a sin to them? The sin is at a different level altogether. It is not at the level that we take. Our criteria is our nose now. To them, every moment the neglect or forget or do not remember Allah